We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Going to be a busy day. Going to be a fun Friday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 99 The Game. Heading towards the weekend with the NBA All-Star Game, the Daytona 500. Pitchers and catchers reporting for the Braves today. We'll talk to Chip Carey in the 9 o'clock hour about that and all the angst around the Braves. There seems to be a lot. Doesn't there seem to be an awful lot of angst around the Braves for some reason that I can't figure out? I don't really
The lack of moves that were made. I would tell you that's right there.
Is anybody making moves?
Don't matter. Fans feel like, you know, with the year that they had last year, that there needed to be some moves made. Outside of the Josh Donaldson's move.
Yeah, I just don't know how you can – until the moves start being made, I mean, you got to make smart moves, right?
I would think so. I would think so, but, you know, some people are looking at it. They're looking at the East, and maybe they're looking at some of the moves that that the Phillies made, and they're feeling like, you know, hey, the Braves need to do more. They need to do more in this situation.
I mean, I think they tried. I think they made a run at McCutchen, who ended up on the Phillies. I think they made a run at Kelvin Herrera. They ended up with Josh Donaldson on a one-year deal. If you still think that Austin Riley is going to be your third baseman, but as to pitching right now, I don't think you can. I don't know that anybody can make a move. The one thing, look, you want to make a move, that's fine, but don't make a move that a bad move is worse than no move. Correct? A bad move is worse than no move.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And then you're looking at right now where all the speculation, the rumors out there about the years not matching the deals that the guys want, the players want.
Mm-hmm.
But there's something to this. And I keep saying that, and, you know, I keep using the collusion word. That might not be what it is, but there's something to this, that this many free agents are out here right now in baseball. There's something to it. And nobody wants to really talk about it. And it has to do with the years and the money that's being dealt out. Now, if I was a player and, like, say, for instance, Bryce Harper. Now, I know that there was an opportunity out there for him to get $300 million mm-hmm. from the Nationals.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned that down. You mean to tell me with a player of his caliber, that was the only team that wanted to step up to the plate and pay him that kind of money? And now all of a sudden – now you're hearing stories about the years. And I know there's a little bit of a, you know, gray area as far as the years that he wanted, the years that he was offered, and then he didn't want them and all this other good stuff.
Right.
But that's the only team.
Well, we understand San Francisco offered him $3,100. I mean, they offered
him $3,300. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean,
but you go that's the thing, John.
I don't know what these guys want.
You go from one team, the team you used to play for, offering you $300 million.
Right.
To everybody else, half of what – not more than half of what they were offering you at your own squad to $100 million?
Yeah, but only 3 years.
That's
why I'm so confused with Bryce Harper. He doesn't take the 10-year deal because he says, I don't want a 10-year deal. I want an out after 3 years. So somebody offers him a 3-year deal, and he goes, no, that's not long enough. I'm going,
I get that.
I'm confused, Bryce. Help me out with this.
I think the thing was for Bryce Harper was the fact that he wanted – those outs at the end of the contract.
See, what he wants is he wants a 10-year deal that's going to pay him a ton of money that guarantees him $300 million.
He wants a buyout after three years.
I mean,
that's smart. I mean, but John, this is what I'm trying to get you to understand.
By the way, a one-way buyout where it's his decision.
Yeah, but as a player, if that's all that I'm hearing and during the regular season that I'm going to get $300 million, and then when I get to free agency and I want to have it on my terms, and when I get to free agency, that's a hard pill for me to swallow. That's a hard pill for me to get past now, you know, looking at three-year deals with no options and things of that nature, only $100 million. Now, granted, I know you could potentially make that money in two or three three-year deals. You could probably make that. But who's to say that your game's going to fall off, wouldn't fall off by that time, and somebody might not offer you that?
Yeah, and I don't know what Braves fans want. I mean –
what a big name.
Well, they want a big name, I guess, but we've seen where they've given bad contracts in the past. Do I have to mention the initials Dan Uggla? Come on. I mean, we've seen them get saddled with contracts that killed them because you wanted to make a big move. I mean, just making a move, it doesn't necessarily – this is why the Braves want to make short-term moves. Remember, the Braves are working off of the – everybody goes, oh, Liberty Media and John Malone just don't want to spend any money. I don't know that that's the case. I think it's just doing this the right way. Do you really want to get Kimbrel back here? Yes. Do you want a six-year deal where no, I don't want a six-year deal.
I think that's the thing. That's the sticking point. But, again, in my dealings with free agency and how it works in the NFL for the most part, for most players, is that you overpay, you always overpay in free agency. This just seems a little strange because teams are trying to underpay. And I know it's the length of the contract. When you look at it, it's all about, adds up to be about the same, but it's the length of the deals that they don't want to do.
See, and you're damned if you do and damned if you don't, if you're Alex Anthopoulos and Terry McGuirk. Because this one article by this guy from Hardball Talk, this Craig Calcaterra, where he destroys the Braves and calls them liars, basically, and cheapskates
and
what? Yeah, he did. Which I kind of look at this and roll my eyes. You say, well, the Braves were 21st out of the 30 teams in payroll last year because I looked it up here at 120 million, right? Okay, so they're in the bottom 10 according to, and he's right, they're in the bottom 10. Would you rather they be number last year? Number two was the San Francisco Giants. Would you rather they be the San Francisco Giants at number two? Hugh, the Giants spent 208 million. What did they get for it?
Nada. No, because you're talking about in the sense of World Series wins, right? That's what we're talking about, right?
I'm talking about what did the Giants get for being number two? How about the Nationals spent $181 million, $60 million more than you last year? They were the number five payroll. What did they get for it?
Nada.
The Mets spent $155 million. They were number 12. What did they get for it?
Did they get a T-shirt? They didn't get a T-shirt.
I don't think they even got a T-shirt.
They got implosions.
Yeah.
They imploded.
So just spending money in and of itself. And, of course, they'll point to the other. Well, but the Red Sox had the number one. And the Dodgers had the number three. Okay, that's fine. There's that side. But there's two sides to this story. Just spending money. San Francisco was number two in payroll last year. And what did they get for it? Nothing.
And when I read this Craig Calcaterra story, John, I got to be honest, he's coming from it from a fan's perspective, from a Braves fan's perspective. So I get what he's saying. I understand what he's saying, and I give him a pass for that. But when you look at it, if you're being objective about it, I mean, you have to be able to make moves that still keep you operating in the black. And what I mean by that is you can't make moves that's going to hamstring you in the long run.
But, and it's set against the fact that the Braves, Hugh, happen to have a log jam of great quality young arms.
And they don't want to, you know what, this reminds me of, it's the situation where Ryan Howard and Jim Thome. When he was with the Phillies.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people complained about the fact that they held on to Jim Thome a little bit too long.
Right.
And it held Ryan Howard back, and you didn't get some of Ryan Howard's quality years. It feels to me like the Braves don't want to do the same thing. They want to make sure that they put themselves in a position where they're allowing these young players to come up, and they're not trying to keep them down in the minors too long.
Well, look at it this way. The Braves made a trade back in the 80s where they sent Doyle Alexander to the Tigers. Because the Tigers needed a veteran pitcher, and the Tigers fans were screaming at that time. Doyle Alexander absolutely helped the Tigers get to the World Series. And so, great trade, right? What did they give up? John Smoltz. Now, you go back to that and tell me that that's a deal you want to make. That's what I'm saying to you. I mean, do you want to bring in a Dallas Keuchel? Oh, let's get Dallas Keuchel for 6 years and block Ian Anderson or block Kyle Wright. You know, do you really want to do that? What if Dallas Keuchel isn't any good? Gio Gonzalez. I don't want Gio Gonzalez. He's out there. Braves talk to him. What am I going to do with Gio Gonzalez? He had nothing. So, I mean, if you want to make a move, that's fine. Just make the right move. I mean, it's not just about money. It's about being smart. The Braves have made some smart moves. They made some moves that didn't work, right, over the last few years. Matt Kemp. Did Matt Kemp really work? Not really. Ryan Howard. Did that really work? Not at all. You know, I mean, we've seen them. Matt Adams. Matt Adams filled in okay. They had Kevin Gausman come in late last year, right? I mean, it's not like they don't make moves.
Yeah, but I think that, you know, in this situation, fans want splashy moves. Fans want big moves. You know, just I'm thinking about Rick Camlin when he's talking about the Braves. He's looking for a big-name free agent, like a big-name pitcher, a big-name arm and things of that nature. But I think that in order to be successful in the long term, You have to build through the younger players, and you have to give them a shot. That really sustains most of the teams. When you look at successful teams in any professional sport, they have a great mix of young players, which are basically the backbone of their club, and they have a great mixture of older players that are in their primes or in a position where they're not costing the team a lot of money. They're good fit role players. And I think that's the way that you have to do it. The unfortunate thing about it, though, John, is that we as fans, we don't give organizations that kind of time to mature and mature these young players and be successful. Everything's a microwave society now. You want it right now. That's the biggest problem.
The Oakland A's were dead last in payroll last year. The Oakland A's, $68 million. They won 97 games, made the playoffs.
That's that money ball situation, though, right? That's out there in Oakland.
The Milwaukee Brewers were 26th in payroll at $90 million. They won 96 games and won the NL Central. You know, again, the Braves were they were in fourth place in payroll, 21st in the league, in the division, fourth place. They won the East by 8 games. And now you want to say the other teams didn't perform. Well, again, you take what you can. I mean, the Braves made the playoffs by having the 21st payroll last year with all these good young players.
Yeah, and it was a pleasant surprise that some of these young players performed much better than anybody anticipated. But this is what happens when you get a taste. When you get a taste of success and you see where, you know, the deficiencies are, instead of, trying to build it the right way, you want to try to build something you can sustain for a longer period of time. People don't look at it like that. They want it now.
Scott and Marietta. Scott, tell me here. I'm missing something here that you want to be smart, not just bold?
So I think that the way that I'm looking at it, if we can get a Dallas Keuchel in here at 3 years, bring Kimbrel back in for 3 years, you've got 3 years of solid back-end bullpen and a solid frontline starter. If we can get rid of Julio Teheran, you can bring up your Ian Andersons. You can bring up your Tuki Toussaint and any of the other arms that you have waiting.
Hey, Scott, your lips to God's ears, I'm with you. But here's the reality at the moment as we sit here and talk on the radio. Dallas Keuchel wants 6 years and he's not taking less. Kimbrel wants 6 years and not taking less. So what do you do?
Bite the bullet.
Oh, wow.
If you can get rid of a Julio Teheran who can't pitch at home, I would take Dallas Keuchel over a Julio Teheran who
You take the 6 year deal.
Definitely.
Okay.
Especially with the track record that he's shown over the past couple of years in the American League.
Okay, no, and Dallas Keuchel's a very good pitcher, no question about it. Do you want to take a 6 year deal, Hugh? I mean, you with all those young arms, down in the minors.
And again, that takes me back to the Jim Thome, Ryan Howard situation, where now you're talking about 3 years of keeping a young pitcher down there who probably is throwing some of his good stuff in those 3 years that you're missing out on because you got all this money tied up in a pitcher that's probably at this point, on in the twilight of his career on the other side of it.
I'm not going to argue with Scott that Dallas Keuchel could pitch. I'd love to have Dallas Keuchel on the staff.
But at what detriment to your younger pitching arms, to your younger arms? That's what you're talking about because you're not going to get rid of Dallas Keuchel at that you have a lot of young prospects that you want to try to get up here.
And again, this team won the division last year, as constructed pretty much right now with the same team, right? I mean, this is a division winning team that we're returning in mass. And one of the reasons, keep this in mind, that they won the division, that everybody said one of the reasons they were ahead of schedule and won the division was they had great chemistry. And that's an issue, too, here, when you think about bringing somebody in.
I think that's one of the things that people tend not to think about or put a lot of emphasis on. Chemistry is very, very important.
Jay in Jonesboro, you're on with John and Hugh. Hey, Jay, what do you say?
First of all, I disagree with you because Jerry McGurk, he did lie. The Braves did lie to us as fans. He said going into this season, to this offseason, the Braves will have more money than anybody else to spend on free agent market. So if there was someone out there who they wanted, they could go and get one, even two players if they wanted to. And then
wait, but they still could, Jay. I mean, nobody signed, right? I mean,
okay. All right. Right. Well, until they do, John, the criticism is deserved. When someone says, "Oh, well, they lied," it's all these free agents out here, and they and what are they doing? They brought in a third baseman who's a big question mark coming off an injury. He's getting older. Let's see what happens. You know, they did lie to us. We do deserve better. They should go out and get that starter that you're really missing. You don't have to sacrifice your young talent to do so.
There are a lot of fans that are feeling some kind of way, and Jay's one of them. Hey, look, I just don't think that we're done yet. I guess is what I'm trying to tell you. They went out and made a move to get Gausman when they needed to.
Well, I'm telling you, you're never gonna convince the fan.
No,
you ain't gonna convince. Gonna convince a fan of that, John. They got lied. As far as they're concerned, they've been lied to.
It is a Friday. Well, by the way, Braves fans, Chip Carey at 9:20 this morning. If you're back in your car, with pitchers and catchers reporting today for the Atlanta Braves. All right, this is the way Friday starts. Hey, it's gonna be a good weekend. It's a holiday weekend.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Congratulations to our own Hugh Douglas on his entrance into the Black Football College Hall of Fame.
Hugh Douglas's return to Philadelphia has been so smooth, it's as though he never left. His icon status went unchanged in his absence.
All through his career, especially in Philadelphia, Hugh Douglas was just a beast coming off the edge, always a problem. The one thing that I remember most about him, his motor.
You know what the great part about this is? Everybody accepts me like I continue to be a part of the Philadelphia Eagles.
What Douglas desires most is a championship ring. Just ask opposing quarterbacks. Hugh Douglas usually gets what he wants.
Can you dig it, baby?
Congratulations, Hugh, from all of us at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The National Football League. We'll keep our eyes on all of the goings, comings, and goings of the NFL. What with the offseason coming up? The Combine is in 13 days. 13 days on your calendar to the NFL Combine. And the NFL this weekend so far probably going to be a little quiet set against everything else that is going on in all of sports. Daytona, the NBA All-Star Game weekend. Of course, golf with Riviera, and that's getting all kind of worked up here too, as we get ready for it. The NFL. There is a couple of notes here that we should probably pass along from the NFL. One is that did you see the Jay Glazer note about Odell Beckham being traded?
I saw that. I don't know how much I believe that. Odell Beckham just got paid a couple years ago, right? He was one of the guys that just got paid. For him to get traded, I don't think that to be the case, but, you know, Jay's pretty plugged in. But I'll be surprised. What are they going to trade him to? And what does that mean? Are you going to keep Eli? What does that mean?
You know, I don't know. I mean, you're going to tell me that Odell Beckham and Antonio Brown are both going to be traded in the offseason?
You know what? If that happens, that just goes to show how expendable receivers are. Regardless of how great they are on the field, they're very, very expendable. Probably outside of Julio Jones, though.
Because I mean, yeah, receivers are expendable until you don't have one. And then you go, we don't have anybody that can catch the ball.
But again, outside of Julio Jones, those other guys were late-round draft picks. They weren't first-round draft picks. Antonio Brown wasn't a first-round draft pick, nor was Odell Beckham Jr. Like, when you think about it, John, both of those guys were not – I think Odell Beckham Jr. was a third-round draft pick or something like that. He wasn't a first. He definitely wasn't a first. You can find receivers. You can, and it has been proven. Odell Beckham Jr. was the first-round pick?
Yeah, 12th pick overall.
My bad. Well, I stand corrected. A.B. wasn't, though. I know I'm right on A.B.
Yeah,
A.B.
Right
was,
not
a first, was not a first-round draft
pick. I believe he was a sixth-round pick.
But you can find a receiver. Well, I take that back about Odell Beckham Jr. I thought he was a later pick. I thought he was at least a second-round pick. But, yeah, I take that back about him. But you can find a receiver. You can find a receiver in the later rounds.
And if, again, you could have Odell Beckham Jr., Antonio Brown, Julio Jones on your team, and if I'm the quarterback, they're going to get 0 yards. I mean, so, you know, you got to have somebody that could deliver the ball. I mean, that's the whole point. I mean, Brett Favre and, you know, Tom Brady have used the who's and what's nots of the NFL to you know, succeed over the course of time. They haven't exactly had a who's who. You know, Randy Moss for a very brief period of time at the end of his career for Tom Brady, but they haven't exactly had those superstar wide receivers, and yet they put up pretty fair numbers, I would think. Guys like that, you got to be. It's more about the quarterback, but just keep your eyes on that one because that's certainly interesting. There's another kind of story out there that I want to talk to you about with the combine. the leading sacker in all of college football last year at Louisiana Tech, Jalen Ferguson, led the entire nation in sacks, okay? Now, maybe with given the edge rushing situation with the Atlanta Falcons, maybe the Falcons would have some interest in Jalen Ferguson. But they're not going to be able to see him at the combine, okay? He has had his combine invite rescinded from a battery conviction stemming from a fight that he had during his freshman year at Louisiana Tech, okay? It was a simple battery conviction from a fight that he had during his freshman year at Louisiana Tech. The NFL has a policy banning players from the combine if they have had a history of violent crimes. Now, I'm confused here, Hugh. I'm really kind of confused. If you have a desire to keep people out of your league who have committed violent crimes, then you're going to have to figure that out on your own. Because right now, we just see Kareem Hunt has been signed.
Who picked up by the Cleveland Browns.
Joe Mixon has been signed.
Played for the Cincinnati Bengals.
You know, there's other guys that have had, you know, certainly things hanging over them, whether it was Tyreek Hill or Jameis Winston. We see, you know, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, I mean, people that have, you know, at least had some kind of shadow about them. I'm not really sure I understand banning them from the combine if you're not going to ban them from the draft. That doesn't make any sense to me. Either you, if they've done something that you want to penalize them, I don't understand this banning them from the combine thing.
Let me try to explain it. I don't know this for sure. I don't know this for sure, but I'm going to try to explain it for the sake of explaining it. Maybe it's that you won't have, it's harder for teams to have access to you. You know, so when you go to the combine, you're there, it's like one-stop shopping. All 32 teams are there, and they all get a chance to see you on that grand stage. By you not going to the combine, now it becomes it's on the teams to go out of their way to come see you if that's what they really want
to
do.
So they got to go to Ruston, Louisiana.
Yeah, they got to go. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. If they really want to see you, then they're going to have to come to you. Which I would think that that's going to happen. I think that they're going to go. They're going to make trips because I remember I was invited to the combine, and they came to my pro day. It was a lot of teams at my pro day at Central State, which gave the opportunity for other guys who were trying to go to the pros to work out. So it was one of those things. So if they want you, they're going to come get you. Bottom line, if the NFL wants you, they're going to come get you. They're going to go out of their way to come check you out.
Yeah, and they're going to check out Jalen Ferguson because he's going to be looked at. I mean, you know, here we got, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, right? You know, I mean, he's out there, and that's one issue. He's got that kind of hanging over him. Of course, he's injured. He wasn't going to go to the combine.
He was
banned.
And it was a receiver as well.
Yeah, there were three of them now, with Jalen Ferguson became the third banned from the combine. But I don't understand banning people from the combine if you're not going to ban them from
the
draft.
You don't get that swag, John. You don't get all that swag that you get. You don't get that Under Armour gear that has wide receiver on it with the tights.
It seems to me.
And the shorts. You don't get none of that. You don't get the bag, John.
If you want to go and be, you know, be part of this event so that teams can actually sit down and interview you, wouldn't it fall that if you've got an issue in your history, and again, this was a fight during his freshman year. I got to tell you, I got into a fight.
It must
in
have
high
been a
school.
Bad fight, though.
I guess. I mean,
well, but here's the thing about that. And I'm not condoning his behavior, but it happened when he was a freshman, and he was a senior last year. It's not like left school after a year.
Yeah, I read that, and I was kind of when I thought it was something that happened more recent. But I guess the NFL has its rules. They have the rules that they have to abide by.
I just don't really know that I understand. It isn't the combine to find out about guys.
Yeah,
is it that what you want?
Let me tell you.
Isn't that the point of it?
If there's a team that's serious about drafting him, they know enough about him. They've went through his jacket. They've talked to his high school coach. They've talked to everybody that they feel is influential in his life to find out what type of person this person is. I mean, that's what they do. I remember them asking me at the combine about my brother. I have a brother that's been locked up for a long, like he ain't never getting out of jail. He ain't never getting out. And they asked me about him. And they asked me to some effect, are you anything like your brother? And I was like, nah, I don't think so. I don't think I am. But yeah, they know everything about you. If they're going to make that kind of, because you got to remember, this is a financial investment. The NFL, if they're investing in you,
right,
and they're going to do their due diligence as far as finding out about you.
I guess that's my point. Wouldn't it follow that you would actually want them to go to the combine so that they can follow up on that, where all 32 teams do have a chance without having to, because they're going to now have to go to Ruston, Louisiana, and sit down with them and go through all this thing. And I'm just trying to wrap my brain around.
They're going to do that. They're going to do
ban
that.
Them from the combine. I mean, if you want to ban them from the draft.
Yeah, would make more sense. You would think.
Right.
You know, and make them be a free agent.
Make them be a free agent. Make them have to sit out half the year.
Yeah, that would make more sense, but nah. It's the swag bag. You don't get this swag. You don't get this Under Armour gear. You don't get these sweet Under Armour shoes that you can run your 40 in. None of that. You don't get an opportunity to get a shoe deal.
So I can't go to Indianapolis and broad jump? No, you're not allowed to. Can I go to Nashville? Yeah, absolutely. Come on down. You can be on stage with us.
And wear those little crazy suits that the kids like to wear.
That big check.
Crazy kids.
Do I get paid to go to any of us? No. Okay. So I'm not really losing out on anything? No. So this one escapes me. I know what the NFL's trying to do, but I just think it comes across kind of backwards. It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Ban them from the combine. Don't you really want them to go to the combine so that everybody could talk to them and figure out who they are? You know, if there's an issue here, you know, if you want to have to suspend somebody coming out of college into the NFL, that's fine. Suspend him for 6 games and say, if you draft him, he's suspended for the first 6 games. But let's find out, you know, what you're going to be getting into here. That's the penalty that they ought to be doing. You know, well, he committed this, you know, incident in college, and so therefore we're going to suspend him for the first 6 games of his rookie year. Okay, you know, I'm not going to argue with that, but don't tell them they can't come to the combine unless you're going to say that you're never going to be allowed to be in the NFL. I think teams need to find out about you. I don't know. It's just strange. And Jalen Ferguson is somebody that was sort of kind of on my radar for the Atlanta Falcons. If you've seen video, and you can go to, you know, the look at it, highlights from Jalen Ferguson, Louisiana Tech. You take into account, you know, the competition level that he's playing against. It's Louisiana Tech. It's pretty decent competition, but he is really quick. And he is like, poof, he makes a move, and you go, whoa, wow. He's got moves. Yeah, he's got moves. This guy can get off the edge fast. He is lightning. It's like, wow, okay. The reason you led the nation in sacks, he's got hops or whatever it is you guys have at defensive end. I mean, he's fast. He beats guys. Yeah, quicks. Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's what they call him, quicks.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
gets off the ball.
This is a guy that would, you know, suddenly he's the kind of guy that you would say, you know, could merit, you know, being somebody that would get the Falcons' attention, considering that Rush End is probably the most unsung focal point of the Falcons in the offseason here. We talk about offensive guard, defensive tackle. We got to start talking about Rush End. Because the Falcons are only kind of middling and that whole rush end thing right now. That may be being kind. Hey, there was a social media history made today, 14 years ago. Want to take a crack at what that was and what it means to today? We'll tell you that looking ahead to the next hour on a very busy Friday with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 in the game.
We are killing it online.
Stay up to date with Atlanta sports no matter where you go. Streaming live now at radio.com and the radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Listen, man. And I'm glad AT's here. Because I got AT. Like, I just heard that. By the way, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Good morning, so John and Hugh. I just heard that snippet of Scottie Pippen talking about LeBron James and how he doesn't have the clutch gene and he'll never be what Michael is and all this other stuff.
I ain't mad at him.
Listen, again, all due respect to everybody that played the NBA, but that sounds like a little bit of hating.
What is he saying wrong?
What does that have to do with anything? The reason why he went to what, 8 straight finals or whatever? And now all of a sudden he goes to a bad team, and now he ain't got the clutch gene.
He never had the clutch gene.
Boy, I tell you, listen, it just sounds like a little bit of hating to me.
Well, let me ask you a question.
He's the most phenomenal player that has played in the NBA since Michael Jordan.
You know what? 3 seconds, 4 seconds.
Since Kobe Bryant.
All right, game 7.
My bad. I'm not hating on Kobe, y'all. See, but let me go ahead and just back up about it, because it's going to get real specific.
It really is.
It's about to get specific up in here.
4 seconds left, game 7. Inbound, foul line extended. Who's taking the shot to win it?
That ain't what I'm talking about, John.
That's the clutch gene, though, sir.
Yeah, but still, this guy has what he's been able to do at this level, man. Listen, okay, if you want to make comparison to Michael Jordan, he's not Michael Jordan. But he's still one hell of a player.
Oh, yeah.
He's still one of the greatest players that's played in the NBA.
Yes, he has.
He's still one of the most dominant players.
He is.
Now, if you want to say, okay, I could take that same argument about Michael Jordan and especially Kobe Bryant and say, okay, they were selfish players. Because as great as Kobe was and you want him taking the last shot, there are a lot of times where I've seen memes where they talking about what he had open defenders on the floor, where they say what everybody else sees, open defenders and what Kobe sees, nobody's open, he's taking the shot. There's been a lot of people complaining about the fact that Kobe was a selfish dude too.
Do you not have you not had teammates that you didn't trust what they did, so you went ahead and you did it yourself?
It's different in football. It's not the same thing, but I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
I hear what you're saying, and Kobe has done that. But at the same time, though, D, there has been players on teams, Carmelo Anthony, that when you talk about him trying to do the same thing.
Yeah, but Carmelo's got nothing to show for.
He's not Kobe.
No, but what I'm saying, I said he was trying to do the same thing that Kobe was doing. He kind of played. If you want to talk about playing the same way, they played the same way. They were two selfish players. It's just that Carmelo wasn't on the same level as Kobe.
When I heard this yesterday, I was taken back a little bit, only because Scotty has gone several different ways with this. Several years ago, I think it was 2011, he said he kind of gave LeBron more credit than Jordan. He threw a little bit of shade at his old teammate. And so now he
– Scotty was kinda, right. Scotty was always kind of bitter when Michael was out of the league with the gambling thing, right? I mean –
Well, I don't know if
he went to the finals, but he lost those to Houston. He didn't
– No. They went to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Oh, Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
But Scotty was never able to take the Bulls to a title without – unlike Kobe – who did it without Shaq, well, Scotty couldn't do it without Michael.
Well, in some history with that, if you remember, Scotty sat out a crucial game of that Eastern Conference playoff series when he got mad because Phil didn't call the last play for him. It went to Tony Kukoc. And so he sat on the bench and Kukoc hit the game-winning shot.
Mm-hmm.
So Scotty avoided a whole lot of criticism that night, because if Kukoc didn't hit that shot to extend the series, and eventually I believe it was the Knicks who won that series, if I'm not mistaken, Scotty would have been ripped to this day for that, because Tony saved his bacon. But I was a little surprised that he went back down this road again. And
that's the other thing. Why even go there?
That's kind of a point, man. Because this is a different era. Like, these are two – we're talking about two different eras of basketball. And that's evident by the way. You can look at some of the old highlights of mm-hmm. when they used to play and tell that it's two different basketball. It's two different eras.
No doubt.
It was a little bit more physical back in the day.
Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. LeBron has not had a playoff game like he did against the Pistons back in, I believe this was his second or third year, when he scored the final 25 points
mm-hmm.
against the Pistons in a Eastern Conference final game. It might have been the year they went to the finals for the first time.
Right.
So there have been times. What you will remember about LeBron winning the title for Cleveland is Kyrie Irving hitting the game-winning shot.
I remember keeping him.
But he did have the block.
Yeah. Why even go there?
But I will say this,
mm-hmm.
and maybe to LeBron James' detriment, at times I will say that a lot of people feel like he tries to get teammates so involved that it takes away from what he needs to go out there and do, and that's the reason why he doesn't get the nod for the assassin gene, because he will go out of his way to get everybody else involved. Like, he'll go – like, what was the other night? He had more assists than points in the first half against the Hawks, if I'm not mistaken, or something like that.
A lot of good it did him.
Yeah. But still –
assassin gene, bro.
But, again, the way that Kobe played when he played – that, to me, feels like it does not – that's what NBA was trying to get away from. They're trying to get back to more ball movement. That's what it feels like to me.
What's James Harden?
James Harden out there just shooting. He's doing what he's doing. He's out there killing. What has he had, about 16 to 17 straight 40-point games?
What's Russell Westbrook?
Same thing.
Yeah.
Assassins.
But where were both of those teams in the playoffs last year?
They're not Kobe.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. But that, just made a point, though. Just kind of made a point. But I'll leave it alone.
14 years ago today, YouTube was born. 14 years ago today, YouTube was born. And I remember standing at Fox, at the network in LA, and a guy says to me, "I love this new website." I said, "What's it called?" He goes, "YouTube." I'm like, "What's a YouTube?" And he says, well, the people post up videos and you watch them. From that moment in 14 years, Hugh, YouTube has become not only Google, but because Google owns YouTube, but really kind of the backbone for streaming video on the entire net in the world.
Let me tell you, I have been in the car with my son and kids. Like you pick any kid that's in that millennial age, that was the Gen X kids or whatever, they watch a lot of YouTube. I don't know what. But they watch a lot of like streaming people playing games or whatever. They watch a lot of Twitch. It's the strangest thing that I've ever seen. And a lot of people have their Twitch accounts connected to YouTube. So it's one of those things where everybody's watching so much YouTube that YouTube has come out with YouTube TV.
Mm-hmm.
They're starting to develop their own content.
Right.
Which is crazy.
Yeah, YouTube is going to be one of the big providers in the next generation of what will become television when cable companies just become kind of streaming providers unless they do their own content. Television is going to change.
And I was just
so
told that YouTube is signing recording artists. How crazy is that?
Talking about the Braves this morning, too, Chip Carey will join us at 9:20 about this article that was written in Hardball Talk that really slams the Braves for not making the moves necessary. And I'm taking a little bit of heat for it, too. I'll explain as we get back in just a moment. Your chance to weigh in, too, on our Twitter at 929TheGame. And, of course, as always, at 404-741-0929 with John and Hugh on The Morning Show on Sports Radio 929TheGame.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.